Okay, so I'll be presenting today. The title of my presentation is Childhood Trauma as a Predictor of Psychological Distress Among HIV Positive Men Who Have Sex in Men Who Have Sex with Men in New York City. I think I just pushed this. Oh, I have no disclosures. I have no relationships to disclose. Okay, so childhood sexual trauma and MSM is a topic that is talked about a lot. And what we find is that CSA is related to mental health issues in adulthood, such as post-traumatic stress syndrome, anxiety, and depression. It's also associated with more sexual partners being victimized by a sexual partner in adulthood. However, we don't pay a lot of attention to two things. One is we have a few studies done in HIV positive men who have sex with men, and we find basically that there's still a relationship between CSA and mental health. However, we tend not to focus on any other types of trauma. So, what is the effects of family problems or loss as trauma and its relationship to mental health and sexual risk among MSM in adulthood? So for this presentation, we're really going to focus on HIV positive MSM, not only because we want to further look at other types of trauma, but because we're interested in understanding, is this paradigm different in a group who's doubly burdened by not only being a sexual minority, but dealing with the issues that come along with being HIV positive? So I have two research questions. My main research question is really just to explore this relationship more, to look at different types of trauma and their relationship with mental health among HIV positive MSM. And then my secondary question is to explore the racial differences with the outcome of trauma. So I'm looking at Black as it compared to white and Hispanic MSM. So Project Logon is a study of MSM in New York City. It's a longitudinal study, so it's an 8-week diary study. It's a structured diary study. So men are required to log on to an online site and fill out a survey every week, the same day, and hopefully around the same time, every week for 8 weeks. The parent study that this analysis kind of nested in is really looking at situational factors associated with HIV risk among HIV-positive Black men. So we ask a lot of questions around sex and drug use, but more so about partner characteristics and the characteristics of a sexual episode. So, you know, how old was your partner? Who was this person? Were you feeling sad? Were you upset? Questions like that. It was required that the men had email access and internet access. They had to have sex with another man in the last month, and of course they had to be HIV positive. In terms of our recruitment strategy, it's a convenient sample, so we use word of mouth, print periodicals. We partner with Callan-Lohr Community Center in New York City, so we got a lot of our sample from the community center, and we also did some venue-based sampling. So I have two major constructs that I'm going to present to you today, trauma, and then the second is mental health. For trauma, we use the traumatic events checklist, and the checklist has 15 questions and asking about either abuse from a parent or a friend, basically. And so I recode it into about 6 categories. So I'm looking at sexual abuse by a family member or other, physical abuse by family member of other, emotional abuse by family member of other, family loss in either childhood or adulthood. And adulthood for here will be like 17, 18. Family problems. Family problems include one question on addiction and one question on taking care of family, other family members in the household. And then threat to life, which is interesting, which is just means threat to life from illness or a car accident. For my mental health construct, I use the Center for Epidemiological Studies Depression Scale. The alpha was about a 0.89, which is really good. And I use the emotional well-being subscale of the functional assessment of HIV infection, which is a scale specifically trying to understand the physical, emotional, and social well-being of HIV-positive individuals. So these are just some demographic characteristics. Basically, I wanted to look at demographics on the outcome of race, so black racial identity or another racial identity. There's really no interesting significant differences there, except when we go down and look at depression. Depression is measured by this SD. We see for black racial identity, the mean was a 16, which is the cutoff for SSD, so 16 or above means that you're depressed. So that was fairly high, and then actually for other racial identity, it was even higher, as 20. And then for emotional well-being, greater scores actually mean you're more well-off, you're better off, you have more emotional well-being, and so we had pretty medium scores there. Okay, so I just started by using Spearman-Rowe correlation, bivariate correlation coefficient, to look at the relationships between my independent variables and my dependent variable of depression and emotional well-being. And we expect to see that, for example, emotional well-being is highly related to depression, but some of the things that I kind of didn't expect to see were the high correlations between some of the trauma outcomes. So, for example, physical abuse and emotional abuse, well, we expect to see that that's highly correlated. But there's other types of trauma that are also highly correlated with other types of trauma. And basically, this reinforces this whole idea that trauma begets trauma, or if you experience one type of trauma, then you're much more likely to experience another type of trauma. In terms of our outcome variables on the first two, one and two, depression and emotional well-being, we see that sexual abuse, family problems for depression, and as well as emotional abuse, sexual abuse, family problems, and threat to life were recorrelated with emotional well-being. So those are the variables that I went ahead and put in to my regression models. So because the trauma indexes, the different trauma variables I used were correlated, to get away from collinearity, I ran separate regression models for each of the types of trauma. So each of the types of trauma are a different adjusted model, and I adjusted for race and age. But I really want to focus on the actual type of trauma. And we see that emotional abuse, sexual abuse, family problems, and having a threat to life are related to emotional well-being. And we see that if we look at the depression row, that emotional abuse is trending, but sexual abuse and family problems are related to depression. So we do see that there's this relationship between types of trauma other than CSA and mental health. So if we just hop over to the second question, I really wanted to see if there were differences by race, so I used black only, and then other racial identity on trauma. And it looks like probably because of the small sample size that we kind of didn't really see any huge differences. However, if you go down to loss, we did see that, more people that identified as black racial identity said that they experienced loss more so than other racial identities. Which is interesting if we think about the effects of loss of a family member in childhood or adulthood actually has on the well-being and development of people in general. Okay, so overall, I found that if you experience at least one type of trauma, if you experience at least one type of trauma, you're also likely to report experiencing another type of trauma. So, as I said before, it goes back to this whole idea of trauma begets trauma. We also see, as I stated before, that sexual abuse, as well as these family problems, which include addiction, as well as taking care of another family member in childhood, are associated with depression, specifically in adulthood. And then for my other outcome, emotional well-being for these HIV, MSM, you know, sexual abuse, as we thought, as well as emotional abuse, family problems, and having some sort of threat to life is related to emotional well-being. In terms of my second question that really wanted to get at these racial differences, we see that loss is actually really important. When I thought that I would find that, again, sexual abuse and emotional abuse might be different by race, considering some of the higher rates of trauma that are reported in Black MSM populations in the research literature. So, in terms of like conclusions and future directions, I think that this like very initial exploratory analysis should be situated in more like a syndemic thought process, where it's one piece of a larger puzzle that gets at inequity and inequalities that come together to kind of inform mental health issues, specifically among HIV-positive MSM in the sample. Not reported here, but the sample also experienced really high rates of drug use. Most of the sample, as you saw by the income, were actually under $10,000 or unemployed. So when we think about trauma in the context of drug use and poverty, it kind of adds another piece of the puzzle to say, okay, maybe we really need to think about more policy or structural level interventions that get at tackling multiple inequalities. So on a more individual level, I think that it's really important that this analysis adds to the belief that mental health interventions around depression need to be tailored to include the very specific needs or higher rates of mental health issues in HIV-positive MSM. Even though I didn't find any huge findings around race differences, we know in the literature that, for example, Black and Latino MSM experience higher rates of mental health. So it'll be really important going forward with bigger samples to look at the intersection of childhood trauma and race. And lastly, and I think even more importantly, because I think that our field is really hitting in this like, you know, pathway approach, is that we need to look at mediating and moderating pathways. So, you know, if I experience trauma and you know, I can't really change that because I'm an adult now. If I experienced, you know, a lot of social support, though, did that buffer the relationship between trauma and mental health? So am I going to, you know, be protected from some of the ill effects that are associated with trauma and mental health? So I think that we need to look at more pathways, such as, in addition, I know that there's one longitudinal study that actually looks at the relationship between childhood trauma and mental health, and it's about 48 months. But we really, to understand the pathway, we really need to look at these more longitudinal year cohort studies to really understand, you know, the causal relationship and the causal pathways between childhood trauma and mental health, and in this case specifically among HIV-positive MSM. And so I just need to thank the team, the PI, Dr. Patrick Wilson, and all of the logon team, Jerome McGaffney, Nicole Dennis, and Melissa Boone, and then our partnering organization, Callan Lord in New York, which they were amazing in helping us reach our sample. So thank you.